Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. We wish it was better circumstances, but it is, of course, 2025, and the bombshell news report today that Sheil Seidler, the widow of Peter Seidler, has filed a lawsuit as she seeks to get control back of the San Diego Padres from Peter's brothers, of all things, here to kick off 2025. John and Jim, back with you on the wrap-up show to kick off 2025. Jim is in like a hostage bunker.
No, I'm on my couch in my house.
We'll get into that as we roll along. There is a lot to react to. We spoke today on John and Jim to the author of the Sportico article that broke the news of the lawsuit, Eben Novy Williams, and we'll share some of the bits and pieces from that conversation over the next hour. As you make your way in, you know the deal. We are here year-round for you, in season, out of season for Padres fans. So smash the like button, subscribe. Follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We appreciate your support of the channel. If you want to make sure we get your comment here tonight, you can click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to every single super chat here tonight. You can become a member as well by clicking the join button down below. But we didn't expect it, Jim. I mean, we spent 4 hours on it today on John and Jim. But again, it was at Sportico. Peter Seidler's widow sues brothers for control of the franchise. We spoke with Eben Novy Williams today. He said, oftentimes, in these instances with infighting, it ends in a sale of the team. He wasn't speculating or guaranteeing that happens with San Diego, but so much is up in the air. The Padres have done nothing all offseason. Now we have this lawsuit from Sheil Seidler. We do not know what happens next, and we don't know what impact it has on the Padres in 2025 either. But here we are to kick off 2025, and it's not under the greatest circumstances for the Padres.
No, it's not. I put out on Twitter before the show started tonight, this, to me, the more I think about it, it feels like a turning point in the franchise's history. Like, I don't know which way it's going to go. I don't know if it's going to end up, in the end, working out for the best. But what I do know is, no matter what, this is a turning point for the franchise, good or bad. That's what I've kind of firmly believe after having a full day to digest it even more. Don't you feel that way? Like, don't you feel like this moment in time, good or bad, and it's going to be a turning point for this franchise? Because whichever way this goes, and right now it feels like it's going to get uglier than it gets better, it's going to change the course of how the Padres are for the foreseeable future, at least.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that it causes a lot of concern, and it's unfortunate for Padres fans. We said this today on John and Jim. It's like, we're the collateral damage, the people that consume the people that watch it. Padres fans don't deserve this. And if you look at the history of franchises that are going through litigation over ownership, it's not good. I mean, it's even the Dodgers under Frank McCourt or the McCourt family, the Denver Broncos that we talked about, the Baltimore Orioles prior to their sale. And now we have the San Diego Padres, and we'll see how quickly this is resolved. But I think it's a watershed day for the Padres, and unfortunately not in a good way. And you think about how 2024 ended. It was terribly, despite the fact that it was a very good year, but 24 consecutive scoreless innings. And since that moment, Jim, they've done nothing. It's like radio silence. And then we fast forward 3.5 months, and Sheil Seidler is suing the Seidler brothers for control of the team. The allegations are very damning. from Shiel Seidler. And it's he said, she said, literally, right now with the Padres organization. And we don't know what happens next. We're going to get to all the super chats, by the way. HBBBV, thank you for your longtime support of the channel. Thank you for clicking off Talking Friars. That's always a good idea. Just kidding, Ben, if you're
best
here.
Best idea ever.
And he says he clicked off Talking Friars to watch us. So thank you. We do appreciate your support of the channel. But yeah, I agree with you, Jim. I just think that there's no way to get around this. This isn't just something that's small and water under the bridge and it's all good. No, I mean, this could play out over a series of months or years. It could lead to a sale of the franchise. And the Roki Sasaki thing we'll get to. But I mean, how can you feel confident knowing what has transpired here today?
You know, the Roki stuff. Yeah, you're welcome, Fadden.
Oh, didn't think you were here.
Oh, didn't see you there. Bye-bye. Like the Roki stuff in this moment of time feels a little secondary. Like the direction of the franchise is kind of an important thing. Like
no doubt.
Who the owner of this team is kind of important. Who's the front man? Who's the front person? Who is the person in charge here? Who is the person that is in charge of AJ Preller? Who's AJ Preller's boss? You know, that's an important thing to figure out. So while AJ has to worry about putting a competitive team on the field, and he's doing that, the most important thing is who's in charge. Who is the owner of this franchise? Who is the point man, person? Who is going to be the front person of this team? And like, as of this moment right now, yes, it technically is John Seidler, right? And we got to wait till Major League Baseball, I guess, officially, you know, I guess, appoints him, right? But at the same time, if this lawsuit getting dropped today, if you don't think that this is a big deal, I got to tell you, this is the deal. This is everything now because these just doesn't go away. This is not just swept under the rug. Like you said, this is not something that, you know, in a couple weeks, people are going to forget about. This is not. This is going to go on for potentially a long period of time. And I can tell you right now, just reading the tea leaves and seeing the fan reaction, the John Seidler and the rest of the Seidler brothers that are involved in this lawsuit, you have no fan support. None. Zero. Zip. Like, you are already behind the eight ball before you even started. And
yeah.
Unless this gets resolved with Shiel, like in a manner where Shiel comes out publicly and supports John or is the person that ends up becoming the front person of this franchise and the owner of this franchise, the Seidler brothers are screwed. It's over. You cannot win over the fan base. You're donezo.
See, I agree with that, but what is going to play out potentially is that, I mean, you already saw the statement we talked about. The statement from the Seidler Family Trust runs completely opposite what Shiel is alleging in her lawsuit. I mean, they shot immediately. This is the Peter Seidler Trust. And I'm paraphrasing now. You can find this online. It's in Kevin Hasey's article. I think it's in Dennis's on The Athletic. But essentially said that Peter had a plan for the estate and the franchise. And it was not to leave it to Shiel Seidler. I mean, that was stated unequivocally day of the lawsuit by the Peter Seidler Trust. So you've got something playing out publicly. And the damn shame of all this, not just that this is unfair to Padres fans and everyone's collateral damage. There's no way in the world anyone could convince me that Peter would ever have wanted his name to be thrown left and right one way by the brothers and another way by his wife and the trust putting out statements against Shiel and Shiel saying whatever about John. This isn't good for anyone involved. And I'm with you. I mean, the fan support is clearly in the corner of Shiel Seidler, but that's not going to matter. Ultimately, this will, one of two things going to happen. It'll be settled. It'll go to court. And the third, of course, is the nuclear. It'll be sold. But a judge will determine if it goes to court what happens, not Shiel, not John. If it's settled, we'll see. I'm skeptical when I read about, you know, basically like allegations of racism in a lawsuit. I'm very skeptical of settlement. And then the sale, I think, is something that plays out over the course of years. But like, we're coming at it from a position where I'm with you. I think everyone is in the corner of Shields Seidler by and large, but I don't know if public opinion ultimately is going to matter in determining what happens next with the San Diego Padres. Now, I'm with you. I think John Seidler's coming at it from a position of completely behind the eight ball and his enemy number one, I guess, unless they win. I mean, if they win at a high level, okay, but are they really going to win at a high level when we see what's going on around baseball and the Padres have done absolutely nothing for the last 4 months?
That's like kind of the point. Like, they continue to trot out Peter's name and his legacy, and they're saying how they're going to honor his legacy.
Sure.
Try, you know, to bring a World Series back to San Diego. Guess what? Actions speak louder than words. And at this moment in time, your actions don't match your words. And it's been less than 24 hours, but this thing has already gone to court and it's pretty much already been settled. And it's the court of public opinion. And right now, that court of public opinion is firmly behind Shields Seidler. Like, you don't just have this lawsuit come out and the things that are said in this lawsuit and expect people to just like forget about it if it ends up, you know, not changing hands and it stays in, you know, John and Matt and his brothers are, you know, running this thing. Like, I'm sorry, unless you win a championship, yeah, then guess what? People are going to go have a fun parade and everyone's going to be happy. And, you know, you can hate your owner, but if you win a championship, then who really cares? But at the same time, name me a franchise that has gone through this and has won a championship. I'll wait.
I mean, it's an interesting on cue from JD Gaucho. Thank you for the super chat, guys. If you're here, please subscribe. And if you're here, thank you for the super chats. We'll get to all of them tonight. We do appreciate your support of the channel. If you want to see your comment on screen, we'll get to it via the super chat. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box. He says, when it involves family, it gets real personal real quick. Remember the tug of war between the Buss children over the Lakers after Dr. Buss passed. Of course, throughout that transition, I don't know the timeline on it, but obviously the Lakers won before the transition. They've won post the transition as well. But I mean, your point's spot on. I mean, the Padres are already facing an uphill battle in Major League Baseball without the TV money, with the Dodgers spending at will, with what the Diamondbacks and Giants have even done this offseason. And I cannot be convinced. I know someone in the chat said that Ben just spent an hour saying Roki's decision will have nothing to do with what's going on with the turmoil within the organization. I don't buy that for 1 second. Someone that's determined to be one of the greatest ever and to win at a high level. Like, there's no possible way his representation isn't making him aware of the pros and cons of all organizations. And there's no possible way that this isn't part of that conversation. I mean, there's no world where that exists. I'm not saying it's going to be the difference. He may have gone elsewhere anyway. And I'm not saying definitively he won't come here, although AJ Preller should get a statue if he does. But to pretend as if this won't impact future free agent signings, or even a player like Roki Suzuki, who's not a free agent signing technically, but has his pick of the litter and can go anywhere, this has to at least be a factor. I'm not saying it's the overriding factor or the only factor, but it absolutely has to be a factor. Any good agent would let his client know about the state of an organization, and this is not a good look for the San Diego Padres, no matter what we think.
Yeah, when you have turmoil with inside the ownership group and you have uncertainty, it affects everything. It just does. It's a trickle-down effect. You know, you look at the best organizations in pro sports, guess what? They have stability. They have an owner that trickles down to the front office, that trickles down to the on-field product, and it all ties together. Like, you don't see any teams in sports that have dysfunction at the very top and succeed. It just doesn't happen. And then usually in the end, it ends in a sale of the team and a new owner comes in. That's why today I view it as a potential real big moment in this franchise's history, like that could lead to an eventual sale. Because you got one side in Shield who has put out some things that in this lawsuit that it's just really hard to look past if you're a fan, and I'm sure every fan's on her side, and you know, probably rightfully so, depending on what comes out of this lawsuit. And then you have the other side who is in control of the team, who is vehemently denying these allegations by Shield, yet they're touting how they're going to keep Peter's legacy alive, yet they're not doing anything about it for the on-field product. And every single fan, well, almost every single fan, I would say 99% of fans are now against you. So like you're in between a rock and a hard place right now, if you're the Padres. And again, the fans, I feel the worst for, because they're going to have to deal with this bullshit from now on for the foreseeable future. And I really feel awful for AJ Preller and the people inside the organization trying to just build a winning team. You know, I don't know who Peter is going to go, or not Peter. I don't know who AJ is going to go to now. Like, who does AJ go to when he's trying to make big time moves? Like, does he go to John? Does he even know John? Do they have a good relationship? Like, have they met? Like, you know, who does he go to now? Like, hey, I have an opportunity to go trade for this big time player. Can we do it? What's the money? Like, I don't know. And so this is just a trickle down effect of everything. And it sucks. It sucks. I hate it. It's awful.
Yeah, no, it does suck. I feel as if the organization has a plan in place, and the organization's plan obviously was to appoint one of the Seiler brothers as the controlling chairperson of the club. So Eric Kinsella was the holdover. This has played out over 12 plus months. Peter passes, unfortunately, and it was untimely according to the lawsuit of Scheel. It was not expected, despite his previous health scares. Then Eric Kinsella for a year while they deal with the mess. The organization thinks they're on the other side of it. John Seiler is now the next chairman. But Scheel Seiler says, not so fast, my friend. And that's what now throws this thing into a complete and utter mess. But I think from AJ's perspective, there's going to be a chairman. There's going to be a CEO on the opposite side, or COO in Eric Rupner. And you can run an organization effectively, but can you run it effectively if there's this like succession type situation playing out where there's this, you know, two sides tangling for power? I don't know the answer to that. My concern is this, that the lawsuit prevents the Padres from making the moves necessary and spending the resources necessary to win at the highest level possible. Nobody is saying even without the lawsuit, they're going to spend $300 million a year and blow past the CBT. But Kevin Acey reported today in the UT that essentially this ownership change has paralyzed the organization this offseason. And like you said, actions speak louder than words. The actions are they've done nothing. Now, that doesn't mean they won't do anything. There are moves to be made. They will make them. But if they don't land Roki, if they trade away a Cease or an Arise or a King or extend no one and just add a one-year piece here or a one-year piece there, like that is not enough to win at the level that Padres fans are expecting. They drew 3.2 million fans last year, franchise record. This on the heels of 3.1 million fans when they went 82-80 and were out of it all year. So that's my concern, that like all of this off-field impacts the on-field. And once that happens, you're absolutely screwed. And also, instability can lead to change. And like, if there's instability, we can't assure ourselves that AJ Preller is going to be here 1, 2, 3 years from now. We don't know what Eric Rupner's future is. We don't know what happens on the other side when there's a sale or there's instability. So it's just question marks are problems. And the Padres have a lot of question marks heading into 2025. And Bryson, thank you for the super chat. He takes a shot at Jim, but says he loves us. So thank you, Bryson. Thanks, the super chat. If you want to support our work, click the dollar sign below the chat box.
Like early on in this offseason, me and you both heard, like, you know, the feeling down at Petco Park was a feeling of a dark cloud. And there was a lot of, you know, not really like enthusiastic people down there and to start this offseason. And a lot of people down there feeling like, yo, I don't know if this ownership group is truly backing their words here of keeping Peter's legacy alive. And I thought that meant along the lines of, you know, cutting payroll more and not spending money and, you know, things of that nature. And while that is still true, today's news was like, I get it now. Like that is truly what was happening down at Petco Park with the seemingly tug of war that was going on behind the scenes. And it's a trickle down. And like Kevin reported today, how the front office almost is like paralyzed because of what's happening with this franchise right now. And, you know, how can you not believe that? They haven't made one single freaking move.
How about this? We said this also earlier today. Like, as this plays out, moves are happening in baseball of significance. Brent Rooker tonight, 5 years, $60 million to the Oakland A's.
He was
earlier today, Michael Lorenzen to the Royals, right-handed starting pitcher, 1 year, $7 million deal. Gavin Lux traded to the Reds earlier today. I mean, the Oakland A's have run circles around the Padres in spending this offseason. This is their second significant deal. It doesn't mean the A's are better than the Padres. They shouldn't be in 2025. And of course, their ownership situation, you could argue, is the worst in sports, certainly the worst in baseball. Yet other organizations are going about their daily business and preparing for 2025 and beyond, by the way. Like, the Padres have so many questions beyond 2025. Jackson Merrill, Michael King, Dylan Cease, Luis Arraez all come to mind, thinking like 2026 and well beyond that as well. And listen, there's time. We said this last offseason. We were concerned. They signed Jerks and Profar late. They won 93 games. They put everything together nicely, and Preller deserves a lot of that credit. Can they do it again with these headwinds from, you know, outside, with the, you know, organization and the future of the organization in jeopardy? Who's controlling moving forward? How will this play out, this litigation from Shiel Seidler? Will the club ultimately be sold? And again, these aren't our words. I'm not saying the club's going to be sold. No. Jim's not saying the club's going to be sold. But when I have the writer come on from Sportico who says the way these situations play out more often than not is the club is sold.
The person who broke the story today, by the way.
And you know, Frank McCourt sold the club. Denver Broncos sold the team. Baltimore Orioles sold the team. So, like, you know, I'm not guaranteeing that. Maybe this is settled, or maybe this is shot down quickly in court and Shiel has no, no case.
Yeah. Right? And look, I don't want to pretend to be a lawyer. I don't want to pretend to know how these things work. I just know what, you know, the vibe feels like right now. And the vibe is just awful. Right. It does not feel like this thing is going to all of a sudden just on a whim turn around and you know, I continue to say it, you know, actions of this franchise are not the actions of a team that is truly committed to win their first World Series championship at this point in time. I'm not talking about Preller. I'm talking about the ownership group and the people that are in charge and the people that are writing the checks. It does not feel like they are fully committed at this point in time to win a championship. And, you know, I don't know if Preller could have made some moves, but he didn't, or he's just not making moves to wait. But at the same time, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be that person of like, you know, let's just wait until everything comes out and we'll see what happens. Like, no. By the time everything comes out, it could be years down the road. Like, these things does not take days. Like, these things take potentially years. And right now, this team is not in a position to, like, wait it out. I mean, they got Manny, Xander. Like, those guys are right now win it or they're going to – it's going to be awful on the other side of these contracts. They don't have time. They don't have time to wait around. They don't have time to wait this thing out. They need to win now. You are in a situation where these guys are making big time money. All right. And if you're not going to spend, like, I don't know what Manny's not getting any younger. Xander is awful, but he ain't getting younger either. You know, Darvish ain't going to be under contract forever. You know, Joe is dealing with his surgery. You don't have Cease and King long-term right now. Like, it's go time.
How pissed would you be if you were AJ Preller and you scouted this player for 6 years?
Oh, my God.
And at the 11th hour, or as the clock is striking midnight, you had something like this get in the way of your pursuit of someone that comes around every 7 years. You know, Otani was 7 years ago. Now you have this situation with Sasaki. And I don't know if this is the reason or not. He might have chosen another team anyway. Or he may still choose the Padres somehow, some way, and AJ Preller will be celebrated for forever. But if this does get in the way at all of Preller's pursuit of Sasaki, and you've been watching this player overseas for over a half decade, and you used to talk to Peter Seidler about your interest level in this player, Peter's been gone for a year and a half, and now you've got an organization in jeopardy, and it's going to cost you potentially the chance to land one of the top pitchers in baseball.
Dude,
I mean, that to me is a little tough to swallow if I'm AJ Preller. I don't know if that's how it's playing out or not. I don't know how AJ Preller feels about the situation that's playing out, but I mean, you have to imagine you got, if you put yourself in his shoes, I wouldn't think that he would look upon this as favorable, today's news. I promise you, look at the coverage this news has received. This everywhere. Is everywhere. This isn't just a local story. It's on the front page of the UT, but it's on the front page of ESPN.com and all sports sites. I mean, this is a significant story that will reverberate. And I think they're still, I mean, listen, is it going to impact? I said this today. If they're down 3-1 in the eighth inning, it has no impact. You know, and this doesn't impact the true day-to-day on field once we get into a season. But does it impact your ability to win at a high level? Yeah, it does. If you don't have the chance to extend players out like you need to, you can't make trades that are necessary, you can't sign a player of the caliber of Roky Suzuki. I don't know if they could one way or the other on Suzuki, but I just feel like it runs incongruently with a pursuit of a championship, even if John Seidler says, hey, we're trying to bring multiple championships to the city of San Diego. I don't think both things can be true, how this is all playing out.
And look, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to blame Shiel for filing this lawsuit now. Like, I see people in the chat saying, like, you know, why did she do this now? Like, maybe why couldn't she have waited until after Roky?
When are you going to do it? Yeah,
exactly. When are you going to do it? And at the same time, you know, Major League Baseball has to, I guess, vote in John, right?
Yeah. Before the 2/3 or 3/4 of owners.
Before the start of the 2025 season. Like, if you're Shiel, you want to try to get out in front of this as soon as you possibly can. And she even mentioned today she did not want to do this. This was something that she wanted to get resolved behind closed doors, but they left her no choice, that she had to do it. And like you said, there's no right time to do this, but you got to do it sooner rather than later. Especially if Shiel, which it totally feels this way, is so convicted in her stance that Peter would have wanted her to be the control person of the team, and that right now his brothers are essentially making his legacy and using his name in a way that would make him, if he were still here with us today, sick to his stomach.
That's what she alleges. That's which what is she, again, something that we'll talk about.
Right. That's what I'm saying is, like, that's what she feels. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, this, I said this today, Jim said the same thing essentially on John and Jim, which is, these are all allegations from Shiel. We're hearing one side of a story. It's a grand jury indictment. You haven't heard that from the defendant. It doesn't make someone guilty because they've been indicted. And it certainly doesn't make everything that's alleged in this lawsuit 100% accurate or truthful. But then again, it doesn't mean that it's not accurate or truthful. So we'll see how it plays out in the months ahead and potentially the years ahead. If you're here and you have not yet subscribed, please do so. We have year-round content for Padres and baseball fans. We're talking about in-season and out-of-season. I think we're 19 subscribers away from 7,800, and we have to get to 8,000 by the start of the regular season. So if you have not subscribed to this channel, we have year-round content for you. Day, night, weekend, in-season, out-of-season, whenever there is news, we are here for you. So please subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans. We can't do it without the support of our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz. He's been with us since day one. I actually spoke with Mark earlier today. Renewing insurance policies, earthquake and life insurance and homeowners insurance. And if you have any insurance need, let Mark take care of you. He's a great insurance agent. You can take it from us. I had to file a claim a couple of years ago. He took care of everything. Makes the process simple and easy. If you ever need him in any capacity, he is there for you. And he's a lifelong San Diegan and a huge Padres fan. And you can click the link in the description down below to get to his website. You see it on screen. He does auto, home, renters, life, earthquake, and more. So if you want to talk about the Padres, Mark's there for you. You get free quotes online or by calling him. If you support the channel, please support Mark Nimitz. He's been with us since day one, which is about 3.5 years ago when we launched this wrap-up show on YouTube. So again, if you have any insurance need, turn to Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance.
Yeah, all his information is on the ticker below, mnimitz@farmersagent.com. When you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
So this is playing out, this lawsuit filed by Shiel Seidler in Texas. The pursuit of Roky Suzuki is playing out. Jeff Passan today writing that there are teams that are not being turned away when asking on both Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez. That was from that Jeff to Passan me, today.
That, you know, and then John Hammond came out today and said, yeah, the Yankees aren't really interested in Luis Arraez. That, yep, to me tells me that Preller is putting out in the media, oh, the Yankees, this team wants Luis Arraez, maybe to, mm-hmm, drive up his asking price.
Yeah, maybe.
And at this point in time, I would be very surprised if both Arraez and Cease make it to the opening day roster.
I mean, I'd be surprised. I mean, it'll be interesting to see who makes
it. There's a lot of things I'd be surprised with. Like, dude, yeah. I mean, what's FanFest going to look like? Because I tell you what, that's the first time reporters will be able to ask players questions, potentially front office people questions. You know, like, we know Manny's relationship with Peter. We know his relationship with Shield. You think Manny's going to be on Shield's side? Of course he is. I mean, I saw a post tonight that Jackson Merrill was liking post about, you know, Shield Seidler, and like, they're put in a really, really tough spot here, because you have the widow of the most beloved owner in the history of this town saying that the people that are now in charge are tarnishing the legacy of that owner.
Yeah, they are being put in a tough spot. Here's what will happen, though. They won't be critical of the organization. They'll say it's above my pay grade.
Right, but still, let
the process play out.
The questions,
right,
will be asked, though.
That's, they my will point, be asked. They will point, absolutely be asked. Yeah. And I can already see Manny's answer on it. He's not going to, at the end of the day, Manny's getting paid. Mm-hmm. And the checks are coming from the San Diego Padres.
He'll get paid by somebody.
And he's getting paid by someone. And I'd be very surprised if he was, I don't know if disparaging is the right word, but even critical of the organization. Now, again, maybe he'll say.
What if he is, though?
I mean, it would be fascinating if he
was. What if he completely backed Shield and was like, this is wrong, and she has the right to, you know, be the point person of it. Like, what if he just went full rogue and just like 100% in Shield's court?
I wouldn't expect it. As a player in a union that's paid by ownership groups.
Dude. I'm just thinking about the relationship, yeah, though, you know, like Shield.
I don't think he's going to go out there and day one of spring training and be like, I'm on team John Seidler, but I just don't think he's really going to get into it, because you know how Manny can sidestep, and it's pretty easy for him to do it. But, and that would be my expectation.
But like, guys that are here long term, him, Xander, Tatis, you know, Merrill, Joe, you know, those questions are going to be asked potentially to them about this situation. And then once we get to spring training, there's always a state of the Padres. Like, who will speak during that time? Because guess what?
I think it'll be whoever the chairman is.
This ain't being resolved before then. So if it is John, if it is somebody like, you know, Groupner or whatnot, you know, what the move that I would hate to see, and I wouldn't put it past him, but the move I would hate to see is if they just trot out Eric Groupner.
Yeah, I could see that too. Here's what I would say to Padres fans that are watching right now. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, or I'd love to see everyone's opinion in the chat. Here's how I feel about this, having consumed it for the last 12 hours and having read everything and spoken with the author of that article. I personally would be utterly shocked if Shield Seidler ends up with control of the team. The reason I say that is because Major League Baseball has already put John Seidler in a position to be the next chairman. Mm-hmm. So it will have to be won. This would have to be won in court. Imagine that legal entanglement and fight. Okay? So this would have to be won in court. It's not going to be settled with her representing ownership. It would have to be won in court. That would play out over what? A half decade. So she would have to win in court over a half decade to control the San Diego Padres. The Seidler brothers are not just going to walk away from the throne. Now, there's always a scenario where the team is sold. I just think about it from that perspective. John Seidler is going to be representing ownership in weeks. There's a lawsuit filed by Shield for her to take back the control of the organization. She would have to win that lawsuit for that to happen. So I don't forecast that. Like, do I believe what she's alleging? That's not even the point of it. Mm-hmm. She's going to have to prove in court that the Seidler brothers don't have the legal right to represent the club. I mean, it just seems like a complete and utter mess. And I don't know the history of these lawsuits, but it doesn't seem like you file a lawsuit and all of a sudden you take over control of a club. It seems like if that happens, the club gets sold before the other person ends up taking over the club.
And then the piece of paper that was released today, allegedly written by Peter Seidler, listing out the people, you know, who he would want as the point person of this franchise if anything were to happen to him, and Scheel being on top of that list, and then John being like eighth, I think.
12th.
Yeah. He was close to the bottom. Hold on, what? Okay. Sorry.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What was I saying?
You're saying with the piece of paper that was in the lawsuit that said basically Peter preferred Scheel to be representing ownership.
Right. Like, you know, yes, that's there, but that's not a legal document.
That's what I'm saying.
If the Seidler bros have in writing in a legal document signed by Peter that, you know, X person over Scheel, John or Tom or whoever, right? Then she has that's it's over.
That's my point.
And I this is how I view this thing going. All right. I view this thing taking a long time to get resolved. And I don't think it's ever going to get resolved. I truly don't. I think that in the end, this thing will get so messy that the family will be forced to sell. And I do think eventually this team will sell, because once you go down this path with in family fighting over who will be in control of the team, it like rarely ever ends up being okay in the end.
Okay, let's make our predictions here and let's remember this show. Because again, it's just an opinion. And Factor 53, thank you, says he's honestly more devastated than the postseason loss. I mean, to me, on-field always takes precedent over off-field. But then again, Peter Seidler was so beloved that I do understand that. But to me, on-field always takes precedent over off-field. But I understand it and I respect the opinion. And thank you for the super. Here's what I'm going to say after reading that statement from the Seidler Trust. That says this: Peter had a clear estate plan. The plan specifically named his siblings. And it went on to say the trustee is exclusively responsible for designating the San Diego Padres' next control person. I mean, it's strong language. I'm assuming, I could be wrong, based on that statement, I'm assuming there is a legal document that lays this out. And if that does exist, I'm just going to assume that John Seidler and the Seidler brothers are going to control the San Diego Padres, and this litigation will eventually, I don't know, be thrown out or settled or won by the brothers. So I'm not in favor of this. I'm going to bet on the Seidler brothers being in control of the San Diego Padres moving forward. Peter's wishes were to keep the team in the Seidler name. Now, that doesn't mean his wishes weren't to have it with Scheel, but based on what Peter said and based on the Seidler Trust statement, I feel as if there's a document that will protect them in court and allow them to move forward. I think it'll get messy. I think it could cost people a lot of money and a lot of time and resources and prevent the Padres from winning. But for now, I'll bet against a sale, and I'll bet on the Seilers remaining in control of the San Diego Padres moving forward, and it not being in the control of Scheel unless there's some type of settlement.
Mm-hmm. You know, look, I agree with that. Do I think that 100% they will sell? No, but I do feel like it's going down that path.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel more so that they should eventually.
Sure.
Because, look, like I said, dude, and I see it in the chat, and we see it on social media. Dude, the court of public opinion, it's like,
oh yeah,
case is closed. It's done.
Yeah, I agree.
There is no coming back from this if you're John Seidler or Matt or whoever else, whoever other Seidler brother was mentioned in this lawsuit.
Right.
Like, I'm sorry, you're not coming back from that. You can say whatever you want. You're not coming back from that. Because you know what? Scheel has more fan support than these brothers ever will. And you know why? Because no one knows who these guys are.
Sure.
No one knows John. No one knows Matt. No one knows Bob. Like, he has 9 siblings. And now the two people that were mentioned in the lawsuit, including John, who, I mean, the lawsuit eviscerates him as far as, like, he shouldn't be the owner of this team because he has, one, no ties to the Padres, doesn't live here, doesn't care about the team, doesn't, you know, this and that. Like, I'm sorry. The court of public opinion is set. The jury rests. Like, it is done. So while you might be right in the end, this could eventually, years down the line, be a situation where it's just like, yeah, you know, John's still the guy. Like, John will get voted in by Major League Baseball here. He'll be the point person. And when these, like, lawsuits and litigations and everything gets settled, he'll just remain the person. Like, unless they win a World Series, this fan base will hate him. And if they don't go out and spend money, and if they don't go out and make moves, and if they don't go out and compete, this fan base will hate him even more.
Well, I agree with you. The history of ownership in American professional sports is a lot of hatred by fan bases to the owner.
I agree.
Two specific examples being in San Diego with Dean Spanos and Donald Sterling.
I'll say it's different. You know? I agree with that, but I'll say it's different from this standpoint, is that they have been touting Peter's name nonstop about the legacy, and we want to bring a championship, and we want to honor Peter Seidler. Okay. And from that standpoint, if that does not happen in the way that the fans view it as such, like if the fans don't feel like this organization in ownership is honoring the legacy of Peter Seidler, they will forever be hated for that because of how beloved Peter was.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I mean, this is a tough position to begin your ownership from, right? A tough hand to be dealt, so to speak. Maybe they did it themselves, maybe they didn't. But you're right. The court of public opinion has been lost, but the court of public opinion won't determine who controls the San Diego Padres.
And if you're
John, makes this interesting.
If you're John, like, you honestly better get your face out there as much as possible.
Right.
You better
media tour.
You need to be making the rounds. And you better not be making the media rounds with, like, one person. Like, you better be making it everywhere, because if you are somebody who is never seen, somebody who doesn't talk much to the media, somebody who rarely is, you know, goes to the ballpark, bro, I mean, it's just awful.
All right, HBBBV, thank you for the super chat. He says Bill Gates lives in Encinitas, so he should buy the team. I actually think he lives in Del Mar, and I think he actually sold his home. I mean, if you're looking for deep pocketed potential owners, they exist. Do they have San Diego ties? Maybe. There are people that would. There's others that don't. That doesn't mean they're going to move the team. We haven't even gotten to that bombshell of the allegation, which is perhaps they would move the team.
What the
if fuck? That's shocking, and we need to discuss it. Let me get to this from JD's third, who says, Peter strikes me as someone very thorough and meticulous, someone who crosses T's and dots I's. I don't think you just happen to have the success he had throughout the course of his business career and not have a good feel for how to accomplish what is necessary.
bro.
I was talking business acumen. Like, it's not the only part of me that was wondering whether there was this legal document that we've been talking about today was what Scheel wrote today, which was essentially nobody expected Peter Seiler to pass in November. I think it was November of 2023. He didn't pass from cancer. The expectation was he was given a clean or cleaner bill of health that year, specifically in the spring or summer. And there was not an expectation heading into that fall that Peter was nearing the end of his life from a health perspective. So it was a bit sudden. Mm-hmm. Maybe that would be impactful from a legal perspective in terms of who controls the franchise if he is no longer there. But I kind of agree with JD's third. You're telling me the owner and chairman of the San Diego, doesn't Major League Baseball probably require a legal document that would say what happens if the chairman is no longer able to serve in that role? The answer is probably yes.
Like, I was talking about this with Aaron and Claire tonight. By the way, I'm in the living room because Claire, one of our good friends, is visiting. So she's in the guest room tonight.
Soft.
Anyway, very soft. I digress. There's no way some dude that's worth $1 billion doesn't have, like,
it's not just on the legal notepad, dude.
Their legal things in order. Now, I will say this. Peter is different from a standpoint of, like, he's a very, like, he was a very, like, hippie soul. Like, he just kind of was a regular person, wore baggy jeans, a baggy sweatshirt, looked like he just woke up all the time. You know, he didn't, like, on a perception, like, just, like, perceived, like, looking at him, he didn't seem like a guy that was buttoned up. But also at the same time, you're not a billionaire for nothing. And when you have that much money and you're in charge of, like, a Fortune 500 company and so many investments and you're owner of the Padres franchise, like, you're going to have your shit in order, right? You're going to have legal teams. You're going to have lawyers. You're going to have things that are taken care of in case things like this happen, especially knowing, you know, he's a two-time cancer survivor. And when he got this infection, like, that was one of the biggest news to me today too. Like, we never really fully knew how Peter passed away. We all thought it was cancer, right?
Yeah, that was my presumption.
And hearing Scheel today in the lawsuit say that, no, it was a completely different thing that was out of the blue. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe it was so sudden that they couldn't do it. But at the same time, it's hard to believe that.
It is hard to believe that. Let's get back to the chat in a moment. I do want to remind our viewers about our friends at Mova Globes. All right. Holidays have passed, but 2025 is coming. And now is the time to pick up a Mova Globe from our friends. They've got MLB officially licensed globes like this one for the Padres. They have all 30 teams. These are spectacular products. They spin with artificial or natural light all day and night. No cords, no wires, no anything. These are officially licensed. Mova Globes is a great company based right here in San Diego. This technology invented, in fact, right here at Cardiff by the Sea in North County. You can click the link in the description down below. And if you act right now, you can get 10% off your next order. Use promo code PWS10, Padres wrap-up show 10, PWS10, 10% off Mova Globes. They don't just have baseball globes. They have Earth Globes and more, Planet Globes, Globes on Globes on Globes. An amazing company. I've got an Earth Globe. Jim's got a Padres Globe. He's got an Earth Globe. These are really cool products. Get them at 10% off right now with promo code PWS10. PWS10. Kick off the new year with a Mova Globe from our friends over at Mova, Padres Mova Globe.
Yeah, check them out now. I don't have one behind me like I usually do, but
I know. Soft.
Yeah, get one today. Use our promo code PWS10. Where are you going? Oh, nice. Earth World. Globe. World Globe. Earth. Awesome.
Look at this.
That's great. Love it. Nice two balls in your hand.
Wrap-up show.
Two balls, two hands. Right. There you go. One's larger than the other.
Let me get back to some of these super chats. Guys, we appreciate you. If you're here and you haven't subscribed, whether you're here live or on replay, please do it. We're going to get to 7,800 subscribers on this channel with your help tonight. We're 15 away. I think we started the night maybe 20 or 21 away. So if you wouldn't mind subscribing, year-round content for baseball fans and Padres fans, we're here for you. Whenever there's news, please subscribe. We're 15 subscribers away from 7,800. And thank you for your support of the channel with the super chats. Just click the dollar sign below the chat box. MCO, we appreciate your support of the channel. Here's what I would say. Just thank you for the super chat. I would just say thank you to those that come to us when there is Padres news, because we're able to talk about it truthfully, honestly, from an unbiased perspective. And I think that's why people do come to us. John and Jim, wrap up show. Listen, people have different opinions on different shows. We understand you consume content in multiple areas. You might like Ben Fadden, even if Jim hates him. And we respect that. But we appreciate that you come to us, is what I would say.
Yeah, like, you know, if you, yeah, again, you go to us, you come to us on the wrap-up show, John and Jim, you go to Ben and Woods, you go to Annie and Elston, you go to, you know, Gwen and Chris, you go to Flat, like, that's great. We have no, it's fine. Like, more power to you. Wherever you want to get your information, totally. We're going to do our thing, and they're going to do their thing. We love everybody. We love everybody, John.
Yes, other than Fadden, I would agree.
Exactly. Other than Fadden, we love everybody.
No Mama, thank you for the super. He says, do you think they will move cities? Do I think the Padres will move? No. Do I think that's probably a bit of a outlandish claim in the lawsuit? I do. I don't think John Seidler takes control of the Padres and moves them to Modesto.
That seemed more like a threat. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think it's a very strong statement. And I think to your point, it's certainly going to turn public opinion away from John Seidler and towards Sheil Seidler. I don't even think she needs that. But I mean, putting that in a lawsuit is a very strong accusation. And in a city like San Diego, where every professional team leaves, San Diego Rockets, San Diego Clippers, San Diego Chargers, I think it's probably going a little far to put something like that in a lawsuit, unless there's some validity to it. But I mean, Petco Park is one of the crown jewels of Major League Baseball, and this city has no other professional team. I don't think they're going anywhere ever, but I can't guarantee it. And when I read something like that, I mean, that's kind of scary to think about, because it's something we don't think about.
The Padres move, I quit.
Right.
We're done.
I mean, we're done. I mean, we have no job. If the Padres move, we're not going to
We have no job. We quit. There will be no more show. It's over.
Correct.
There will be no shows in town. Nothing.
There will be nothing.
It would be the death of, I mean, the city as we know it. I mean, sports is such a crucial part of a city's culture. And if you don't have sports, kind of irrelevant. So,
right.
Back to, like, because I see a lot of people in the chat talking about, you know, who could be a potential owner of this franchise, right? Mentioned it today on John and Jim. If I told you right now, 12 months from now, this team sells to an investment group and an ownership group led by Theo Epstein, would you take that?
Yeah. I mean, I would take it if the alternative was...
Or would you let this thing ride out and see...
No, I wouldn't really let
it ride out. Stay in the side of their name. Whoever.
No, I mean, I just... Here's the thing. At the end of the day, what I prefer, and the reason we've done this as obsessively as we have for the last 5+ years, Jim, is I want to see the Padres win a World Series. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see the Padres in a certain family's name. I mean, that's nice. I think, to your point, from a public opinion perspective, I tend to side with Sheil in this after reading through this lawsuit. And I also think that her and her family have done a lot of good for the city that goes beyond the San Diego Padres. But at the end of the day, we're talking about wins and losses in sports. And I'd like to see the Padres win at the highest level possible by whatever means are fair but necessary. And if that means selling the club and putting it in the hands of someone led by Theo Epstein, and that ultimately brings a championship here, that's my preference.
100%. My first preference would be Sheil. I think, you know, if you look at this whole thing, again, I don't know what her actions would be. Her words are definitely there, and she knew Peter better than anybody. So she would know what Peter would want and how this organization should be run. But if you tell me right now that there's a world out there where there's an ownership group with some deep pockets that's led, and their point person is Theo Epstein, and Theo's a part of that ownership group, I'm signing up for that every day of the week. I'm sorry, I just am. That, to me, is something that it would be very hard to pass up.
I don't know if that world will present itself.
I don't think it will, but I'm just throwing stuff out there, you know?
Yeah. Or, you know, but again, like you said, I mean, if this does get wrapped up in the courts and ultimately leads to some type of forced sale or sale coming on the other side of the courts, you know, maybe they will be better off. as a result of that. Again, I don't think it was Peter's wishes based on his own words, but Peter's no longer here, unfortunately. Richard, thank you, man, for your longtime support of the channel. Richard, a Dodger fan, but a supporter of the channel, says MLB needs LA and San Diego to play in October. Well, they have three of the last 5 years. While this will be in court, good luck signing free agents. LA revolted against McCourts. We stopped supporting.
100%.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen in San Diego. I mean, they've got their season ticket membership sold out. I think they'll draw 3 million fans this year. Now, I don't know what 2026 looks like or beyond, but I think in the short term, the Padres will be fine. I think you're going to go to Petco Park, Jim, and if you didn't know, you wouldn't know. I think you'll go. You'll see 40,000 people. They'll have bobbleheads and hot dogs and craft beer and popular baseball players, and they'll have large crowds. That's my expectation for the upcoming year.
Yeah, the in-game experience like isn't going to all of a sudden just change and everyone gets like, you know, coal in their seat, right? They're not going to like go to Petco Park and be greeted by the ushers like with a giant FU. Right. Like the fan experience is still going to be top notch. Like they've invested a lot into Petco Park to make it, you know, one of the best fan experience places in all of baseball. Truthfully, like anybody that comes to Petco Park that's never been to Petco Park before says to themselves, like, this is the best ballpark that I've ever been to. It's just, it's a great place to watch a baseball game. It's a great place to enjoy, a game and have some great food and all that.
Yeah.
And it were like, you know, when the team eventually does suck again, like you're going to see a giant dip in attendance, and it's not going to be because of the owner of the team, but it will be because of the on-field product. Now, where this could be awful is, and I don't think this will get to that situation, right? But we all saw what happened in Oakland. Like that fan base 1,000% revolted against that owner, and John Fisher
the move was announced.
Well, but even before that, there was.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't. There was no
so much pushback against that owner because they didn't do anything. Now, ironically enough, they leave town and now they're spending a bunch of money. Like, think about this. They've spent, what, $120+ million this offseason so far?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If the ownership group does not spend money and they don't, you know, enforce their words with good action, then you will see a dip. If the payroll continues to fall and the on-field play is not good, you will see a dip in the fans for sure.
At some point, I just don't expect it in the real short term. I think 2025, they're protected.
Yeah, for sure.
JD's third, thank you, man, for the super chat. He says, Shield lives in Texas, filed a lawsuit there. Yeah, but I read the Sportico article, and it's actually also been, I don't know if it's jointly filed, it's also been filed in Travis County, California. So this has been filed in the state of California. So it's not like this is irrelevant because it's been filed in Texas and doesn't apply to the Padres who reside in California. It's been jointly filed, I guess, according to Sportico. Cruiser, thank you. He says, if the brothers are legally entitled to the Padres, Shields' only play would be to win the court of public opinion. The Seiler brothers are more qualified. I don't even know if we can say that, Cruiser. I'm not saying that Shields more qualified, but what do we know about John Seiler's ability to run a baseball team? What do we know about Shield Seiler's ability to run a baseball team? But what makes them more qualified than her, I think, is at least a fair question to ask.
100%. I have no idea if Shield could run the Padres better than John can run the Padres. Right. I don't know.
Neither are GMs, by the way. They're going to let people do their jobs, presumably. Right.
Yeah, but the thing is, the thing that we keep talking about is that whoever's in charge of this team at this moment in time is not doing the things that, you know, would live up to the legacy of Peter. Now, again, I'm not saying go out and spend $300 million every offseason. But you telling me you can't re-sign Kyle Higashioka because of a couple million dollars? You telling me you can't go out and get the Profar deal done right now for like $45 million? Right? You telling me you can't like sign Michael King to a long-term contract that you could, you know, work out and make sure that the money is equal and it's not like crazy? You tell me you can't do those things? Like, what are we doing here?
I agree with that.
That's the part where I'm like, what the fuck's going on? you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, Jason, like, I'm not really in favor of the whole, like, boycott. And again, I'll respect the will of, like, the fan. People are fans. They decide what they're going to do. But, like, he says, and thank you, Jay, for the super. He says, Joe Tsai, owner of the Nats, should buy the Padres. He lives in La Jolla, which is true, I think part-time, and enjoys baseball. And he says, hashtag boycott FanFest. Like, I always think that when you start going at the pockets of ownership, you're only in turn hurting the team that you love. So like if all of a sudden there was a precipitous drop in Padres attendance and revenue, that's going to be impactful on field ultimately, maybe not in the short term, but in the long term, it absolutely will be. I don't think anyone's boycotting. I don't think we go from people are mad at John Seiler to 1600 people showing up at FanFest and 12,000 people on Tony Gwynn opening day, second day. I don't see that. Maybe I'm off. I just don't see a boycott in the immediate term. Could that come long term if they go 60 and 102 and don't spend money and cut payroll? I guess. I just don't see it in the short term.
No, on a Wednesday night versus the Chicago Cubs, like, and they blow a ninth inning lead, we're not going to come on the wrap up show and be like, that's because of the lawsuit. Like,
yeah,
right. You know,
tomorrow.
But where the lawsuit and the tug of war does affect things is the trade deadline. What if you have to go out and try to add a piece, but that piece is going to cost a little bit of money, right? Or potential top prospects. The offseason, which we are in the midst of right now, re-signing players, signing players to help you put over the hump, you know, getting that final piece of the puzzle, re-signing guys like Jackson Merrill and Michael King to long-term contracts. That's where this is going to show up, and it's already shown up this offseason with the fact that it's being reported that one of the biggest reasons, or the reason why there's been no moves, is because the front office feels paralyzed because of this.
Right. But I mean, at some point, moves are necessary to run a baseball team, so they're going to have to come in some form or fashion. But are things like Michael King extensions being worked on right now? It seems unlikely.
Well, also too, you know, I know we talk about there's going to be moves. Well, you know, those moves could easily be, we just have a bunch of minor league guys and a bunch of spring training invites, and that's that.
Right. I don't know, man. I mean, you got all this payroll, and now you're just going to finish out your roster with minor league invites. I know. I mean,
they've done it before with a bunch of Rule 5 guys on the team.
Not with this payroll. Not with an expectation to win. That was 2017.
I know. But guess what? They can still do it, and they can still throw out, you know, the facade of like, oh, well, we still have Manny and Tatis and Jackson Merrill and Michael King and yada, well,
then
yada,
you're
going to
end up with the old, like, Manny, get me the hell out of here, Machado.
They're in a spot where I do think, and I don't fully believe this, but if they did do that, you know, they are in a spot where they could spin it. I could see them spinning it. I absolutely could. Saying that we have a great core here, and you know, we feel like these guys are ready to go, and it's young guys, and we need to build within the system, and yada yada yada.
JD's third thank you. He says the brothers live in California, so it was joint. I don't know. All I know is the Sportico article says it was filed in Travis County, California. People are putting there is no Travis County, California. I don't know. I'm just reading the article at Sportico. It's on my screen right now, but thank you again for the super. While we have a moment, I do want to thank our friends over at Underdog Fantasy. NFL playoffs are here, folks. You can win up to 1,000 times your money in a single night with Underdog. All you need to do is use promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. You'll get a 50% deposit match up to $1,000. It's their best offer yet, plus a free gimme pick. What's a free gimme pick? How about Lamar Jackson higher than a half rushing yard? That's a free gimme pick. Or Saquon Barkley, higher than a half rushing yard. You're getting the free gimme pick and a pick'em. All you got to do is get two correct to win. Two or more, you can win, and you can win up to 1,000 times your money in a single night. Great offers going on right now. If you haven't played, you need to. Best and easiest place to play fantasy sports is Underdog. Click the link in the description down below. Get 50% deposit match up to $1,000 plus the free gimme pick by using promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. Again, promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP. NFL playoffs, baseball's coming back, NBA, NHL, college football postseason, whatever it is, you can win big at Underdog.
Yeah, use our promo code and also scan right here to download Underdog Fantasy. It's the easiest app to use. It's fun. It's interactive. And use our promo code PODSWRAP right now. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and start playing.
What do you think, Jim?
I don't feel great, John. Like, I mean, find me one person that's like, actually, we did. Someone actually did call in today. But
who called him?
On the talk back, and okay, they were like, yeah. Like, oh, why are you guys talking about this? This isn't a big deal. Like, right, buddy, right. No, this is the big deal. This is if you can't see that, I don't know what to tell you. You know, you can talk about all the moves you want, but the owner of the team is the most important of anything when it comes to a professional sports franchise. And it's not even close. Not even close.
Yeah, I'm going to put a link because I think people are going to want this after our live wrap-up show. You're going to want to listen, which is essentially watch the conversation interview we had with the Sportico author that basically broke the news that this lawsuit had been filed. His name is Eben Navoy Williams. I'm putting it in the chat right now. Sportico author. Watch this interview after the wrap-up show. And, I mean, you're going to hear that. And you're going to think a lot of the things that we're saying here tonight, which is there is a possibility of a sale. And there's also the possibility that when it gets held up for 3, 5, 7 years, you run into a situation where it impacts your ability to win. Denver Broncos, Baltimore Orioles, even the LA Dodgers at one point. You could probably argue the LA Lakers. I'd have to look at the timeline of the way the bus situation played out. But I mean, it's never a positive, and oftentimes, you know, really impacts a team's ability.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude. 100%. Like, this could put a freeze on a lot of things for a long period of time, potentially. And that's worst case scenario. Like, if you can't operate as a franchise because you got this shit going on, you're DOA. You're dead on arrival. You have no chance. None. Right. Especially with aging vets and guys under big time contracts, you know, this thing is going to get potentially even uglier. We talked about the nightmare contracts the Padres have after the 2027 year. Oh, I mean, just add this on top of that. Like, oh, dude, are you kidding me right now?
That's a really good point. Devi, thank you for the super. He says Elon Musk for the Padres. Make the Padres great again. The Padres have actually been, by their, you know, historical history, pretty good the last 3 years, NLCS, NLDS, but I don't know if Elon is buying, and I don't know if they're for sale. They aren't.
My first vote is Sheil. Second vote is Theo. And honestly, my first vote, like, the more I think about it, like, Theo and a group with some deep pockets put in charge, like, I'm sorry. I love Peter and, you know, what he brought to this town and Sheil, but man, that'd be really hard to pass up. If you tell me right now, a group with some deep pockets led by Theo's the point person of this whole thing, and they want to buy the Padres. Yeah. It's hard for me to pass that one up.
I'm just looking at this, like, legal pad where, like, Sheil's at the top of it.
I know, dude. It's really
weird.
And
I'm just wondering how that ultimately
plays out.
Is the difference. Look at this, by the way.
Ooh.
Okay, hold on. Can we get some clap emojis in the chat on what's been a really disappointing offseason and start to 2025 for Padres fans? This is amazing. Where Are You At Productions. This is one of the most generous super chats we've ever had.
Thanks, man.
I mean, that's really, really generous. Wow. So we're going to stick around and hang out and answer this for the next 5 or 10 minutes. He says, all this drama keeps stacking up. the collapses, Peter's death, cutting payroll, and 24 scoreless innings. Now this, when does it end? And us as fans are collateral damage, stuck in the middle. We should not support this new ownership until proven otherwise. So frustrating.
You know what it ends? Again,
thank you so
thank
much
you.
For the generous
thank
support.
You. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know what it ends? It ends when we all die.
That's not good, man. But the thing is, like, where you have productions, like, we were just like, I was just saying, like, I'm not really in favor of like the buck stops here. Put your foot down. We're not going to put up with the organization being run by Peter's brothers. I mean, is that going to serve the organization well and ultimately get you to your goal of seeing this team win at a high level? I don't know.
The only way I think, John, that doesn't occur is if they continue to win and they continue to make moves year after year after year that, you know, try and help this team win. And if that stuff does not happen, yeah, you got a big problem. Like, if they don't lock up Jackson Merrill to a long-term contract and this thing is still going on when he becomes a free agent and they can't re-sign him because of this whole mess, bro, yeah, the team is, you know, they're screwed. And the fan base won't go that long. Like, if this thing continues down this path, I do believe that the support from the fans for this new ownership group, it will be a disaster for the ownership group. Disaster.
It could be very bad. I mean, and I think there's a lot of people that feel very similarly to Where You At Productions. They're like, they're fed up. The way last year ended, the heartbreak of Peter's passing, the payroll, man, that was such a big story last year. They dodged it because they won. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine if last year they cut payroll like that and they followed up 82 and 80 with 80 and 82. People would be like, this is an absolute joke. Mm-hmm. Like, this is because of you. And when we talked to the Sportico author today, he's like, look at it. There's a direct tie between spending and winning in baseball. And it's true. It's not a guarantee. The top spender doesn't always win. The bottom spender doesn't always lose, but they kind of do. The bottom spender doesn't win. The top spender, by and large, wins. Look, there's a direct correlation in baseball to spending and winning, and the Padres are now going to be like 15th to 20th in payroll. Like, is that going to be good enough to win a World Series? I mean, that's a rhetorical question.
Let's use the super chat from Where You At Productions to just buy the team.
I don't know if it's going to be enough.
Yeah, all right.
Like, people are saying, like, Where You At Productions, buy the team.
Yeah, please. We'll be the point people of a team.
And seriously, man, very generous.
Yes,
and
thank you.
We're very appreciative because Jim's wife is sleeping in the room next door. My wife's sleeping upstairs. I mean, we appreciate you guys hanging out and supporting what we do.
I'm on the couch right now.
And Jim's on a couch. Howard, thank you. He says, imagine the world if Peter was still alive. Jim went down this path earlier today, and John and Jim, we both agree, it wouldn't look the same, the Padres. Now, the Padres won last year, so I can't guarantee they would have won at a better rate, but there's no doubt that the organization and the on-field would be different. Things would look different if he was here.
I would bet a lot of money that if Peter were still around today, the things that are happening with this franchise from a spending standpoint and an on-field standpoint and an off-season standpoint would 1,000% not be happening. You can't tell me that this was the vision of Peter to cut payroll by 100 plus million and then this year do nothing in the offseason, not one move. Like, I'm sorry, that is not the vision of Peter. It just isn't. So yeah, I 100% am on board of the thinking that if Peter were here, things would be a lot different. Maybe not from like an on-field standpoint, but hell, maybe Juan Soto is still here. I don't know. Maybe that trade never does happen. Maybe Bob Melvin does return. Because if you guys remembered, what happened before Peter passed away publicly stated that his wishes were to keep and retain Bob Melvin along with AJ Preller. When he passed, what happened? Bob Melvin went to the Giants. Mm-hmm. And who knows what happens if Peter is around. But I can tell you this, it would not be this. So anybody that tells you, oh yeah, this was the plan all along, this was the plan all along, even before Peter passed away. Yeah, really hard pressed to believe that, honestly.
Right. There's this Buzz guy that's like, don't know if he's talking to us or the chat. I'm fairly certain he's a clown.
Come on, put up your stuff. What's he saying?
Hold on. I hate to profile people that are moronic, but I will. He says we won what? I don't recall saying that they won anything. He says we won nothing. Okay, but they also have been in the postseason 3 of the last 5 years. You guys are so out of touch with how teams' finances work. What are you, like Johnny freaking Morgan Stanley over here? You can't spend if you're not making the money back. This isn't a charity. And then what a pedestrian take. No, look, you are a clown.
If you like hate
you watching, actually are.
Then thanks for the views.
Honestly, keep watching. Yes. Keep arguing.
Keep watching. I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care. Whatever. Like, you're a fucking moron.
Just consume this as much as you possibly can. And thank you for subscribing, because only subscribers can comment in the chat. So we appreciate you.
Congratulations.
Exactly.
I mean, you're an idiot. Like, the fuck are you doing?
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Give me your take, big guy. You want
I want to hear the take.
Give me your take. You think our take's stupid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to hear everything that you know. Come on.
Come on, Biz. In the chat. Is that your real name?
Biz in the chat. Do it right now. Give me your opinion.
You can just,
and then I'll tell you how stupid your opinion is, because you told us our opinion was stupid as well. So give us your take. Give us your opinion. Come on. We'll put your chat up.
And while we wait for that, HBBBV, thank you, man, for the super. He says we need a drug lord from TJ to buy and make signings. I don't suggest that. I don't know if that's going to turn this thing around. I really don't. But appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. JD Gaucho. Oh, okay.
Oh, great.
Let's get into net rankings. Let's get into net rankings. On a lighter note, UCSD's net is 46. Did you realize that? KenPom's 65th. They have a quad one road win. They're an NCAA lock if they keep winning, right? Well, only if they win the Big West, JD Gaucho. No, they're not going to make it as net large. There's no scenario.
Ben Varela, loyal listener and viewer of the wrap-up show. What up, Ben? I mean, it's a great point. Like,
yeah, the valuation of the franchise is going up threefold since they bought it, dude.
And if you thought that this was Peter's only venture, Peter did not make his millions off of the Padres. He made it off of his own Fortune 500 company and, you know, real estate. Like, you're out of your mind if you think that this was like, you know, the only way Peter made money, or the only way that he had money. Like, his other businesses were probably double what the Padres are worth.
I don't even know what this guy's saying. Yeah, let's just agree to disagree with Buzz.
I don't even know what he's saying.
Either do I. The price of tickets has gone up okay. And
what's your point? Because that makes no sense.
What's the point? What's the point? Oh, hold on. JD Gaucho has chimed in by saying UCSD at UCI is a projected quad one road game. And the game's in San Diego, isn't it? The Saturday night game? There's a big game Saturday night in San Diego. UCSD? UCI, I think?
Who's paying for the contract, Buzz? The fans? No, you're out of your
mind. What are you talking about?
Who cares? What are you talking about?
Fans are fine with it. Look, there's 3.2 million people there.
We're paying for the contracts?
Yeah, that's how sports works.
But also,
$18 beer pays for the contracts.
Also, if you think that all the fans only pay for the contract.
Who cares if they're fiscally solvent? Are we like, let's go fiscally solvent? Or do you want to win? Who cares?
Who gives a fuck, dude? Are you kidding me? God, I'm so sick and tired of people worrying about other people's money. Like,
yeah, they're fine. They're fine.
They're millionaires. They'll figure it out. They're okay. They have some money. All right. And if they sell the team, guess what? They're gonna have billions of dollars. Like, give me a break. I'm never ever gonna feel sorry for a millionaire, billionaire owner. Give me a break. Oh, they're losing money.
It's been a tough time. This is a tough off season, man.
God. Debt service. Like, change the name of the team to the San Diego Debt Services.
Shit, I'm not fiscally solvent. I have a mortgage. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's fiscally solvent.
Like, paycheck to paycheck. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Guys, we're 7 subscribers away from 7,800. Would you please subscribe if you're here? If you haven't subscribed, if you're here live or on replay, please subscribe. Year on content for baseball and Padres fans. What a day, Jim. I mean, we probably spent 5.5 hours on this.
We're the only people in town talking about it.
And yeah, we're going to keep being here for you to talk about arguably the most impactful story in recent history involving the San Diego Padres. So join us tomorrow, and we'll get to the supers that are rolling in. JD Gaucho is not done talking net. Join us tomorrow on John and Jim. If you're not watching or listening to us on John and Jim, our day job, we really could use your support. We're on the free iHeartRadio app, 2 to 6 Pacific, each and every weekday. And we're also on, obviously, San Diego Sports 760. If you're in Southern California or in Mexico or even in Los Angeles, you can pick up 760. And then we're also, of course, on YouTube. Just search for John and Jim 760, because we're going to be talking about this tomorrow for about 4 hours. JD Gaucho says Saturday is quad two, Jim.
Oh.
At Lion Tree, February 8th, quad one at UCI. Yeah, but that's not enough, JD Gaucho. You know that. They're going to need. Nice. I mean, yeah, they could go. If they win out and lose in the conference title game, then they maybe will be in. That's the only scenario for me. And then No Mama says, does this affect Roki? We touched on this earlier.
Probably.
I think we both think yes. I'm not going to guarantee he's not coming here, but I just feel like this is a negative overall impact on Roki.
Yeah, I'm not going to say with 100% certainty it does, but I would lean towards yes rather than no.
Correct. I'm leaning the same way. But let's see. I mean, we'll have an answer within 15 days, something like that, on Roki Suzuki. Maybe I'll feel better on Roki in a few days. I don't know. I don't feel great on it now.
Look, if they land Roki, that will change the entire like vibe of the offseason, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah, I agree.
Changes a lot. It's like a short-term Band-Aid, and it's a big Band-Aid that will last for a while. Like, Roki signs here, and he turns into fucking Paul Skeens 2.0. Like... Yeah,
it's going to actually really piss me off. I mean, I don't want him with the Dodgers, but I'm going to be then thinking, like, let's say he ends up with, like, the Giants. I'm going to be left to second guess. Like, dude, he didn't even choose the Dodgers. So it was, like, an open possibility that he was willing to entertain other offers. And did he go to San Francisco over San Diego because of everything that's playing out? You know?
Yeah. If he goes anywhere, like, you're right. I guess the Dodgers, then it's like a foregone. It was a foregone conclusion.
Well, he's always going to go there.
He's always going to go there. But yeah, if he chooses someone else, like the Rangers or the Giants or the Cubs or the Yankees, right? Yeah, it'd be hard pressed to not like put that out there in your mind of like, holy shit, if this wasn't happening, maybe I don't know. Maybe he does pick the Padres instead he chose somewhere else. I don't know, dude.
This is an interesting take. I appreciate the super from I am Donovan 73. Thank you, man. He says, I'm a Dodger fan, but this sucks. Some of the best years have been recently have been great. Because I think he's saying competition. Mm-hmm. I don't want or need a bad San Diego team. That's an interesting perspective in general. I mean, I think the rivalry has been great for baseball in general, and they've met in the postseason 3 of the last 5 years. And there's nothing to say that the Padres can't make the postseason in 2025. It's certainly a possibility. We have no clue, but it's at least a possibility. But yeah, I don't think it's good for baseball, to I am Donovan's point. You know, like the A's ineptitude is not good for baseball, the Marlins, et cetera. And if the Padres put themselves in a position where they weren't as competitive as they are now, I don't think there's really that many winners ultimately.
Do you no, I agree with that. Like, competition is good for everybody.
Sure. Yeah.
Did you see the Dennis tweet tonight? The Padres did actually make a move.
No, why am I not seeing stuff from Dennis?
He put out there tonight some non-ownership news. The Padres are adding former major leaguers Nick Punto and Robbie Hammack to their coaching staff.
Oh,
roles are TBA. Ryan Barba, Mike Schilt's field coordinator last season, recently left the organization to join the Cardinals. Everything's fixed.
Oh, I don't see a loss until May. Now that I know that, and I looked at the schedule, I think they could win their first 35.
I was thinking more like June-ish.
Oh, is that what you were thinking? Let me go to the schedule.
Yeah. Hold on. When do you think they have their first loss?
Okay, so they open with... What do they open with? Atlanta?
That's a win.
That's 4 wins. That's a 4-game sweep at home. then Cleveland comes here. That's a 3-game sweep. They go to the Cubs. That's a 3-game sweep. They go to wherever Oakland plays now. That's a 3-game sweep. Home for Colorado, 3-game sweep. Home for the Cubs, 3-game sweep. At Astros, 3-game sweep. At Tigers, 3-game sweep. Versus Rays, 3-game sweep. Versus Giants, two-game sweep. I think their first loss is the opener of that Pirates series in Pittsburgh, May 2nd.
Omar makes a great point. Nick Punto is helping land Roki.
Maybe that's why they did it.
Roki's looking like, holy shit, they hired Nick Punto. I'm going there. Yeah, you're probably like 40-0 to start the season.
I have it. I don't know if it's 40, but it could be close.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
This is interesting. JD Goucher says, any chance Major League Baseball steps in to force a resolution? I don't know. It happens in professional sports. I don't know how that all plays out.
The only way that happens is if, like,
they run the thing into the ground.
Yeah, and or Shiel has, like, legal documents stating that she was going to be appointed the point person, you know, and that the brothers don't. Pretty simple.
Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. Hey, Vay. All right. Here's the deal. Subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans.
I want to just quickly before we leave. This might be the dumbest fucking comment.
No, don't. Maybe, but.
Bro, let me just say something real quick. So the other day, I want you to realize the difference between a billion and a million. I saw this yesterday. I looked it up. All right. How many? So a million seconds. How long is a million seconds, John?
How long is a million what?
How long is a million seconds?
I don't fucking know.
I'm trying to make a point here.
A billion is.
Shut up.
Is 1,000 million.
Hold on, stop. So Buzz thinks that, you know, $50 million for a billionaire, that's a lot of money. A million seconds is 11 days. All right. You know how long a billion seconds is?
I did. Now that you told me, it's going to be 11,000 days.
30 plus years.
That's 11,000 days.
So when you are talking about a millionaire compared to a billionaire, the gap is insane. So $50 million for a billionaire actually is like nothing.
It's only 5% of a billion, better buzz.
So your mind is completely off. So that's enough for you.
Real quick though on that, you could lose $50 million a year for a decade. That's $500 million. But if you increase valuation of the franchise by a billion, you've made $500 million. Right. Think about that. You could lose $50 million for 10 consecutive years or show a loss of $50 million for 10 consecutive years. But then if you increase the valuation by a billion, you've made $500 million. They're fine.
Right. They're okay. And no, I'm not drunk.
Yes, Jim is always drunk. And I don't know how many seconds is a billion. I have no idea what Jim's talking about.
I just told you. I was just pointing out to you the gap between a million and a billion and how sometimes you might think that the gap is closer than it really is. When someone's a billionaire, dude, like.
I just want to be like a $10 heir.
I want to be like a dollar heir. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Rich, what's up, man? No, we've been here all freaking day, dude.
Welcome to the shit show.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Subscribe. You're on content for Padres fans. Help us get to 7,800. We're three subscribers away, Jim.
Oh, we're not leaving.
Hey, Jim, you are like, I don't need that. When Jim starts using like math equations on the show, you know that something has gone haywire.
No. I'm not stupid. No,
right. You are right. I forget what you said, but it's still 11 days, but it is a million seconds, but a billion seconds is 30 years.
Yeah. And that was just to point out
that a billion is more than a million.
I was responding to Biz's comment saying like $50 million is a lot for a billionaire. And I'm like, bro, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Right.
And I don't even know why he's saying that. Like, I don't even know why.
All right, subscribe. You're on content for. We're two subscribers away from 7,800.
We need two more.
Please subscribe. Please subscribe. We're here for you. We're back tomorrow on John and Jim. Find us on YouTube, John and Jim 760. Find us on the free iHeartRadio app or listen on San Diego Sports 760. Talking about this weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Follow us on X @John Schaefer @Jim Russell SD. Thank you for your support of the channel. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks. Thank you to those that have become members to support our work. And yes, please subscribe. Year-round content for baseball and Padres fans. We're at $77.99. Who wants to be number 7,800? Going once.
Going once.
Tell us if you've subscribed.
We are so
in the
close.
Chat. Who's going to so be 7,800?
We're so close. We just need one more sub, and then we.
And the difference between 7,800 subscribers and 78 billion subscribers is a ton, but we're on our way.
Imagine if we had 78 billion subscribers.
We'd be bigger than Mr. Beast.
We would. Even Mr. Beast has more subscribers than people living on the planet. If that's even
possible. No, people that are in America.
7,802. How you doing?
By the way, you're wrong about Mr. Beast.
Oh, did I say America? Did I say the world?
People in America.
Oh, my bad.
7,803. Thank you, guys. You guys rock. Please subscribe. We're back tomorrow at 2 p.m. There'll be better days, Padres fans. Happy New Year. All right. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 p.m.
What? Bye.
I don't know. I should do an Aztecs wrap-up show.
Yeah, do one.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.